Well, welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks. Anything but straight. My space.
I'm so sorry.
What the fuck?
And I'm Paradox.
we welcome you to our episode, which is about what today? We got this.
Oh, my belly, it hurts.
Ouch. My belly. We're doing a book review about Furry Planet, but before we get to that, do you know who Nikocado Avocado is? Nika Avocado, whatever his name is.
That sounds really, really familiar, and I can't remember.
He always goes,
yes, but no.
That's how he screams. I'll send a video to you, like a compilation. It's so effing funny.
Oh my god.
But like his ex-husband like throws like sandal at him as he was recording. He's like, ouch, my belly.
So stupid.
Anyways, today we are going to be talking just a quick review about a book called Furry Planet by author Joe Strike. So Apollo Publishers reached out to us. They're basically like a book company, and they asked us to review a book by author Joe Strike, who's also done a book called Furry Nation. And I said, sure, why not? So I had them send a copy to Paradox and one to me, and then we would read it and review it. However, upon discovery, the book is, I mean, it's not a huge book, but there's a lot of pages. I was almost going to compare it to like the Bible, because the Bible has like really thin pages.
Did you know that there was drawings in the back of the book?
Yeah. Did you not know that? There's like pictures.
I didn't. I just picked it up again and I was like, oh my God, there's pictures. I didn't know.
Yeah. There's pictures back there. I just haven't looked at them yet.
I've had this book for over a month and I didn't know that. Oh my God.
So they reached out to us. They wanted us to do a review. It's kind of like a sequel to the book that they already wrote. And it's called Furry Planet, A World Gone Wild, which includes history, costumes, and conventions. It's a really nice book. It's a pretty sturdy book. It's like one of those hardback kind of books.
Hear it. Okay. See that? That's hard.
Yeah. Quite hard. If you're one of those, you know, sensory asthma kind of like...
Ooh. Asthma? ASMR?
You don't call it asthma? I call them asthmers.
No, I've never heard anybody call it asthma.
What?
No.
Oh.
Must be a furry thing. I just haven't caught on. Asthma.
They gave me a little media flyer of what to say. I'm not going to say it because there's a lot on there. So, but it's a really good book. And we're going to talk about it. Lost my train of thought for a second.
That's okay. It clearly went. It just the dead little silence there. You're like, and we're going to talk about it.
First things first, though, the book is quite long. For the way that it looks, there's a lot of pages per chapter. So there's a lot to like cover. We kind of decided that what we're going to do is we're going to just talk about a summary of the book itself and then maybe some notes here and there. But what we'd like to do is starting in 2024. We'd like to do about 4 or 5 episodes that are dedicated to 4 chapters each, where you can have time to purchase the book and then read it with us. And we'll discuss those chapters per those episodes. And then you can write it and say, hey, this is what I thought about this chapter or whatever you'd like to. And then we would kind of go from there. It'd be a special mini series, like an actual in-depth kind of like review of the book itself. But we'll do like a quick summary today.
Join the Straight from the Muzzle book club, where we start with Furry Planet. I almost looked at the notes and called it Furry Nation. I almost X'd up.
Not Furry Nation.
Not Furry Nation.
So it is technically considered a role-playing and fantasy subject of a book. I guess you could probably put it under that. That's what it says on the back. If you look where the barcode is. It is $26.99 as a retail value, but if I go on to Amazon real quick, it might be on special.
There are no reviews on Goodreads yet.
Okay, so right now, as of October 9th, you can get the hardcover for $24.99. That's new. Or you can get the Kindle version for $8.49. I don't know how long these things usually last as far as like promotional things go. So I believe the actual retail value was $26.99. That was the list price, but it's on a 7% discount right now. So cool.
Actually, I'm going to see if it's at like, I'm sure you could also rent it. Is it renting or is it borrowing?
You can't rent a book.
No, like
it's not this library. I guess I've never thought of it like that. Renting a book?
Or is it borrow?
Well, I mean, I guess it's are rent and borrow like technically the same thing? Let's see. Let me see what the synonyms for rent is.
You rent a house. Does that mean you're borrowing the house to like live in that space?
Possibly.
On today's episode of Straight from the Muzzle, Space and Paradox discuss the true definition of renting.
Well, I don't see any. Borrow doesn't happen to be in the book. Or in the thing. So I'm not, it's not in the book. I don't know. I would assume that renting from my library is the same thing as borrowing from the library. It just probably sounds better if you say borrow.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd borrow a
book. Because there's still late fees, though.
Check out a book
from yeah.
The library. There we go. Maybe. I just looked at one of the local libraries and they don't have it. So I don't know.
What about Furry Check. Planet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not going to have this.
You never know.
Are you kidding me? I'd have to donate this book.
Probably. I did see on Amazon there was a couple used options, which you could find used options as well.
Yeah, you could get a used book, but there's nothing like opening up a brand new book and you get that like fresh book smell. Like that's the one thing I love about books is that they all have distinctive smells and you can't get that from a tablet.
I am a hoe for books. I love new books. I love a couple
old books.
Old books. And I love like really, really, really old books that have that really unique smell.
Imagine like just like going through the pages and be like, I can smell the hands that touched this.
Or you just, it's crisp 2003.
The last person that wrote this book was female and 75. No. Oh.
She
might have been married.
A lot of time on page 302.
Yeah. What is your deal with 302?
I said 394 earlier.
Oh, okay. So what is Furry Planet?
Well, it's a book.
We know that.
So the book delves deep into the heart of the fandom. It really takes its readers on a journey of like discovery or even a rediscovery, as some may already be in the fandom when reading this. So like yourself and me, I butchered grammar there. It's fine. It's the night. So honestly, it has a great introduction to the fandom, really highlights a lot of the fandom's core meaning, which is just imagination has no limits. And here in the furry fandom, you are free. So the fandom and its many subcultures it covers, such as Disney, anthropomorphic animal characters, Looney Tunes, My Little Pony, etc. The book also talks about its history of the fandom and like its many conventions, both still going and several that are unfortunately no longer around.
I was quite surprised, like how much it was really interesting. They're like, it talks about the history of the fandom, but it also talks about the history of the fandom depending on what country you're coming from.
Yes, that was something cool that I noticed as well.
Yeah. And then it talked about conventions too. Like, I thought I knew my conventions and the history, but I didn't know them that well enough, apparently.
No, neither did I.
I didn't know that apparently England tried like 4 or 5 times with the same convention, which never worked. And then finally they came around to doing just confuzzled, which stuck finally, which is funny because the really interesting things about the spread of the furry fandom, I'm not sure if it actually started in the United States or if it kind of just like spontaneously kind of grew in its own way through different countries. But it's really interesting how they go by country and they talk about, you know, how they visited certain areas and they would, you know, talk more about the furry fandom with like-minded individuals. They would talk about like having people at conventions kind of like meet them at like a hotel that wasn't necessarily by the actual convention itself because it'd be about something else. So, and then these people just willingly going to a place that they're not sure what it is, but then they meet like like-minded people. It's a really interesting book. Like, the history. There's so much history in this little subculture we call the furry fandom. And it's quite phenomenal. The best way I can say this book pretty much is like rediscovering the fandom for a second time. So if you've been in the fandom for a while, like I have, or Paradox, how long have you been in the fandom?
How old am I? I'm 28 now.
I'm 36.
I have been in the fandom. Let me calculate, because I'm terrible at math. It's because I'm gay.
Yes, that's definitely, if you're gay, that makes you terrible at math.
I've been in the fandom for at least, I want to say
a while.
At least a little over a decade.
Wow.
I want to say at least like 10 years.
Okay. So you're like, when you join the fandom, there's like that honeymoon period where everything's really exciting. You're discovering all these things. And then you kind of like find your groove and you're good. And you kind of just coast in the fandom for a while and you just get used to things. And then there might also be like a fork in the road where you decide, maybe the fandom's not for me. Maybe it's just not working. Or maybe you're an artist and you made one mistake and everyone just jumped on you and you want to leave because you had a really bad experience or, you know, something else. And then I feel like that would be the perfect time to read this book before leaving the fandom, because it's such a great way to rediscover history, points of view, literature, things that even I didn't know about the fandom in this book. It's quite phenomenal.
I was going to add something and then my brain bleeped it out. I think it was something along the lines of like if you were thinking of leaving the fandom, read this book
before you do that.
Yeah, before you do it. And hopefully it'll kind of remind you that like the fandom is not all super terrible. And you're going to find these problems in every single fandom that you are a part of or that you get interested in or whatever. There's always those bad apples that make it crappy for everybody else. So I also have some weird throat problem too, but I think it's just because other things. Anyway.
Testosterone.
But yeah, so seriously, if you were on the fence of leaving the fandom, give this book a try, read through it, and like you said, it really is kind of like rediscovering the fandom. It gives you so much more in depth and I guess a new outlook on looking at things within the fandom.
Take your time reading it though. It is a long book. It very much reads as you had said, like a textbook,
very much like a textbook.
So it's not a fiction book. It's not like, you know, you're delving into a world of fantasy. While you kind of are, it's more or less more informational. It's very much like, you know, a book that you would take with you to school to learn about a new lesson. There's like 17 chapters in here, but sometimes there are chapters that have like 30 pages in between them. And that's so...
Like a textbook.
There's just so much information. Well, that's not a bad thing. It's just for a reader like me to read that much, like to get from one chapter to the next, it's so much. And I like to start a chapter and finish a chapter. I don't like starting back in the middle because then I feel like I have to rewatch it. Kind of like when you watch like re-watch a series. Like think about it. If you like, for instance, I like to watch Grey's Anatomy. It's a great show. Okay. But the problem is Grey's Anatomy goes up and down. If you stop in one particular place and you try to go back to it, there's a lot of like storyline that you forget and you have to like rewatch it all over again just to get back to where you're at. And I feel like that's the same thing with the book for me. I can't start reading on one chapter, stop in the middle, and then pick up where I left off. It just doesn't work like that.
No, I agree. For my TV series comparison, Once Upon a Time, you cannot stop like that. Never series. Seen it. Oh my God. Okay, so real quick, Once Upon a Time is a delightful show. I'm going to tell you right now, do not save yourself the trouble. Don't watch season 7 because that's the last season and you don't need to watch it.
It just sucks.
Oh yeah, because literally they did so good and then they got like a little weird, but I was like, okay, I can still do this. This is fine. And then they got to season 7 and they were like, you know what? We're going to do this. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell you guys are doing, but stop. And then like, I'll be honest with you. I didn't make it through the last season. My wife and I, we got through maybe a fourth of it. And we were like, okay, no, how does this end? Just watch like a recap of season 7 and you'll be good. Please watch like seasons 1 through 6 and then just watch a recap of season 7 and you will be fine. Save yourself the headache because, oh my God, it was bad.
Right.
But yeah, but anyway, so that's just my little 2 cents.
There's just a lot to unpack per chapter to kind of give you an idea is like what you'd be looking forward to. So like these are the different chapter titles. So It's a Furry World, Mainstream Anthropomorphic Movies and Television, which is a really interesting read. They go over a lot of variety of like older stuff to more modern stuff. Meetings with Remarkable Furs. That's when they talk about a little bit of history with furries that already exist. We got Mainstream Anthropomorphic Literature. So they're talking about books. And it's not like they do bring up like Keel Gold. And do you know who Keel Gold is?
I don't think so.
It's a huge furry like author.
What's the name again?
Kyle Gold. They talk about Kyle Gold. They bring up Something Bacchus, which I'll talk about later. And a variety of like artists or authors that write books, not necessarily about furries, but they are furry related in the sense that they've got animals and anthropomorphic things going on. Then you got, you know, Suits Me Just Fine, which talks about fursuits. Mainstream Anthropomorphic Theater, author, which is more stuff. Mainstream Anthropomorphic Sculpture, I Dig a Brony. Anthropomorphic Art, Pretty as a Picture, which is furry art. Furry After Dark, which it's pretty self-explanatory on that one. Performance Art, Is Everybody Happy? Music to My Furry Ears. And Here We Come. And then the last chapter is The Furry Future. There's a lot to unpack. And frankly, if we were to try to do a book review for the whole book, it would be several hours long. It would be so long. So we're not going to do that. We're just going to kind of like not even scratch the surface tonight.
It would be even longer because we have side tangents all of the time.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
So all the time. If we were just to focus on just the review itself, it would easily be at least 2-3 hours long. But like with us side tangenting, expect like a 6-hour long
right
episode, which is just absurd.
That would kill me. A 6-hour episode would end up taking me about on average 60 hours to be able to edit down.
Now, I did make notes, and I'll talk about like the little notes that I made a little in just a bit. To talk about the author, who is Joe Strake?
All right. So as we mentioned, Joe has been a longtime member of the furry fandom, a gray muzzle, if you will, because that's what, you know, us older furries are called, or gray muzzles. He's also written 2 books based around the fandom. His first being Furry Nation was released in 2017 and received praise from well-known celebu furs, or poppy furs, as some people call
it. We call celebu furs. It sounds better.
It does sound better. That's why I put it in the notes.
Yay.
So within the fandom, such as Uncle Kage and Boozy Barrister. I met Uncle Kage one time. He's pretty cool. So his newest book, Furry Planet, is the one that obviously we have read/reading. Both of us, while reading, have had a pleasant experience overall.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book. I'd like to meet Joe one day. If he ever goes to a convention, cool. Take my book and get it signed. It'd be kind of cool.
That would be nice.
And I'd like to get them on as a guest, too, to kind of pick their brain. I feel like that would be a good one.
Oh, wait a minute. We could get, if we can, because we're doing like segments, let's get him on as like the finale.
Ooh, that would be really cool.
Let's do it.
That would be really, really cool.
That is if he wants to come on anyway.
Yes. If you want to come on, that's great. If not, whatevs.
Mr. Joe Strike, get on this podcast.
I did find while reading, and I'm sure I'll find more because there's more to read. Little spoiler, I haven't read the whole book yet. I've gotten about halfway. Like I said, there's so much to read. And so I think I took a break, like just a week break, because I'm just like, I want to do something else so I can come back and refresh my mind. I think I want to try to get Spotticus Cheetah, I think is the name.
Oh, yes. No, I read about them in the book.
I just feel like they'd be a really good artist. And other types of, like, there's lots of guests in here that are potential guests, like authors, book authors, that I might want to reach out to, like in our quote unquote start of a book club possible that we might do. Some notes that I've kind of written down, and I'll kind of just breeze through them real quick. Okay. So in the book, on page 37, Joe Strike brings up this guy named Dr. Stuart Sumita. I hope I'm saying Sumita right. and I'm not mispronouncing it. But basically, they're a paleontologist specializing in pre-dinosaur fossils, and they also teach courses on animal and human anatomy. They've also been brought in on multiple movies, like for references. So things you might be familiar with, like The Lion King, Brother Bear, Over the Hedge, Madagascar, Kung Fu Panda, Bolt, How to Train Your Dragon, Untangled. It would blow your mind how many people actually work on a movie and for the reason they're doing it. It's really interesting. When you read about Dr. Sumita, you'll find that you'll be like, this is actually really cool. I didn't know that, you know, university professors actually helped out on like these really wildly popular movies. When they were talking about how there are different ways that like animals are portrayed anthropomorphic wise on screen in a visual manner. And so they basically break it down into four categories. And this is basically what they say. There are four basic categories. One, looking real and acting real. Two, looking real but acting like a person. Three, cartoony looking but acting like a real animal. And four, looking and acting cartoony. The first and last are really easy. It's the middle two that are the most difficult. Even if the character is stylized, giving a natural behavior helps a ton. Like the way a cat cleans itself is displacement behavior. But in the end, the story is key. If the story is brilliant, suspension of disbelief is easier. No matter how good something looks, a cruddy story can kill it. So like, I've seen countless animations out there, like animation movies, where the animation is amazing, but the storyline sucks balls, and therefore the movie flopped because it didn't do a good job. And so they kind of point out that it's important to have a storyline, but in this particular little segment, it's really interesting how they break it down to how we perceive animals on screen, which is kind of interesting in my opinion. And then, are you still there?
Yeah, no, I'm just listening.
You're so quiet.
I'm sorry. I was just enjoying the soulful sound of your voice.
Later on in that chapter, before they move on to film and TV, Joe Strike basically asks Dr. Sumita, you know, finally, if I ask if he were an animal, which would he like to be? And if he's ever imagined himself as one, like, I don't know what that is. I think it's a dinosaur. It's a Dimetrodon, Dimetrodon. It's his favorite of those pre-dinosaur reptiles, for example. He responds that he is more or less set in his current form, saying, well, as a biologist, my first response is, I'm an animal. Humans are just weird mammals. Right now, though, my primary animal role is a dad and family man. So I think if I could choose another animal, it might be dad minus 20 pounds and a lot more sleep. It's just an interesting response.
Dimetrodon, by the way.
Dimetrodon. Okay.
Yep. It's the one that's like at like the fin on its back, but it's like real low to the ground, like a crocodile.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I knew exactly which one you were talking about. I love dinosaurs. I have always loved dinosaurs. Have we done a dinosaur episode? Let's do a dinosaur.
No, we have not. We can do one. Yes. I want to do like one about like dino. What is it? The skull dogs. Definitely want to do a skull dog, but we haven't done a dinosaur episode yet. We should.
You know what? Halloween is coming. We could do a Skull Dog episode.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaur.
There's a funny little like excerpt that I kind of like looked into. On page 47, they're basically referencing an author who works with Mel magazine, and their name is Joseph Longo. But in part of it, they're talking about how furries respond to The Masked Singer, because The Masked Singer is huge. It's basically animals and people singing in them. But
I love The Masked Singer.
So do I. But it's funny because they basically say like another magazine that also weighed in was Mel magazine. No, furries don't want to fuck The Masked Singer or any of them. Like specifically like the Rottweiler. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Okay. Now hold on.
The fox though.
The fox was hot, but I liked the dog, the puppy dogs and the puppy masks that were dancing with the Rottweiler. I would totally F one of those.
So cute. I want to get a pup mask.
But Longo basically says something in acknowledgement of the furry fandom, which is really interesting. They say that furries are a rising safe space for queer youth. That is, teens are connecting online entirely through their fursona, sharing detailed fan art, short stories, and advice on coming out. He shares the words of Oliver, a trans teenager who told him, quote, "It seems like a silly hobby looking in, but portraying yourself in various pieces of art and in all different forms allows for a kind of introspection that I can't feel I can't be found in any other place." So it really, like, I don't know why. I got really emotional because it's true.
Oh, are you crying?
No, I'm not. I'm just getting, every once in a while, I get, like, overwhelmed with emotion about certain things. But, like, it's so true, though. Like,
it is true.
In a way, the fandom right here is basically allowing, you know, a trans teenager to explore themselves. Maybe if they can't explore themselves in the real life to be trans, they can at least explore themselves as trans in their own persona, which I find just deeply beautiful and so amazing. So that's, I got a little emotional on that. So
no, I get that.
Then the last page that I wanted to go over was page 117. I wrote basically as I was reading this book, it's really interesting. I might take a picture and I'll put it in the thumbnail. Or not the thumbnail, but in the information below. As I was reading, I would write like little indentations of paragraphs that I wanted to go over. And on the very back cover, I wrote like numbers to refer back to when we actually did like a summary of this particular book. Mm-hmm. So the last one is a page 117, and I even put a little heart next to it because I felt like that was the most important one that I got to, and I got to flip to it. Got so many freaking dog ears all over these places.
Oh, you dog ear it?
Yeah.
Oh, I am offended.
You don't dog ear your pages?
No.
Why?
You monster.
That's the only way I know how to get back to it. I don't have like, I don't have freaking, you know, I have tons of sticky notes at work, but I don't got them at home.
Dollar Tree and you get little sticky notes.
Oh my God. No.
You dog ear your book. I'm judging you.
Don't judge me.
Oh my gosh.
Page 117. It's really important to me that people know this. I make a point of it on Twitter a lot. It's the very first page of chapter 5, which says suits me just fine. But it's this particular paragraph that really sums up the fandom, and I think is most important for everyone to learn. And I want you to really pay attention to this. Most folks outside the furry community, and even some newbie furries, labor under the assumption that as a furry, you're practically required to own and wear a fursuit. But even though a well-made fursuit is a wonderful way of bringing your fursona into the real world, of becoming your fursona, it's not a requirement. The only requirement for being a furry is enjoying anthropomorphic animal characters. That is so important. I see so many people, I've talked to people that look like they're a furry, but they're not, even in the kink community. And I've said, you know, you could, you seem like you might be like a furry. And they're like, well, I don't have a fursuit yet, so I really can't join the fandom. And I'm like, that's not the point. And I think people get lost so much that you have to have a fursuit. You have to have a tail or, you know, something that says that you're a furry. You do not need any of that. All you need is an open mind and just the enjoyment of anthropomorphic art. That's all you need. I could go, I mean, I have a fursuit. I don't wear it for reasons, but I don't need a fursuit to be who I am. I don't need a fursuit to be the leader of this team that I have that is the podcast, to have my co-host Paradox, to have all the wonderful people that I've ever met in this fandom, to have the Telegram group that we have. I don't need a fursuit to have all those people, to make all those friends. I don't need a fursuit to bring on guests that you guys want to listen to. I don't need it. What I need is an imagination and just being myself. That's all I need. And that's all you need. And if anyone ever tells you different, that you need to have a fursuit, that you need to be popular in order to get somewhere in this fandom, they're wrong, 100%. And if that's the mentality that that person has, they're not being a good furry. They're not being a good person. They're not leading in a way that they should be, because we should be leading others into the fandom and inviting them in. We shouldn't be telling them this is what it should be. It's not.
We shouldn't be gatekeeping.
Yeah. I want to make that point because it's so, so important.
That was really well said.
Yeah. You don't need to be popular to have fun in this fandom. Just like you don't have to drink at a con to have fun.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or get super high on... What did you have?
Or I had a CBD gummy.
CBD gummy.
You don't need to resort to throwing chlorine, powder chlorine down a stairwell. <You know? God. laughs> MFF will always be chlorine con to me. So
we were so sentimental, and then we were like, don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Unless it's CBD and you're over 18, then it's okay.
And even then, please do it responsibly. And
yes, please do not drive.
Don't drive. Please be with people that you trust and you know, you're okay with being. Oh my gosh.
What's your take on the book? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh my goodness. So I don't know. I've kind of talked about it a little bit. I've just, or at least agreed with most of it. I don't have like fun notes like you have. I know that when we go to a more in-depth review, I think I am going to do a bit more like notations and whatnot, because I want to take it a bit more
seriously.
Seriously. And it's not that I didn't like take it seriously like the first time around, but like, honestly, like we mentioned earlier, it is very textbook, and I do have ADHD, and I get very distracted. So, and I sucked at school because everything was textbook, obviously. And I was like, like if somebody handed me a history book, I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this.
So, but like, there's pictures at the end of the book.
There is. Now that I know there's pictures, now I'm like, oh my gosh.
There's actually, it's really fun. So some of these pictures are a reference to what's talked about in the book, but there's a really funny one in the back of the book. It's just a bunch of inflatable dinosaurs walking across the crosswalk.
I love that.
There's this place called Plymouth in the UK that is known for inflatable dinosaurs. Apparently it's like a town-wide thing.
It's
a whole story, and I don't want to ruin it. I just want you to go and read it. It's a good book.
That's awesome. It is good. Like from what I've read, and because we have kind of mentioned spoiler, like we haven't like finished it.
But
yeah. For like from what I've read, it is really good. It is very informative. Like we mentioned, it really is like rediscovering the fandom again. It's good.
I would recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. And again, I would also recommend it to not just people who have already been in the fandom, but
maybe
like
a mom
also
or a parent.
What?
Parents. Might be a good book for parents.
Yes. Oh my God, it would be. It would be a great book for parents to read, especially for those that are like, ew, I don't know what these are. Like, I've heard such negative things. No. Seriously, if you are a younger like fur and like you listen to our podcast and maybe your parents are a little bit on the fence, be like, hey, this book right here will perfectly explain to you what it is at its core and why it's not terrible like a lot of people think.
It does cover sex, but not in the way that they think, and it's very informative and very professional. So
good.
Now that we have this book and we've kind of already scratched the surface of it, if you want to get it is on Amazon. You just got to search Furry Planet. You can get it on Kindle or you can buy it hardback. I don't think it's available on Barnes and Noble. I mean, it might be, but I haven't Googled that far yet.
I went ahead and Googled it for space. Yes, it is available on Barnes & Noble.
You can also go to Apollo Publishings and go to their website. And I'll include that link in the information below. And they'll have it available for you to buy as well. And yeah.
And that's the beginning of Furry Planet.
And that's the beginning of Furry Planet. Now, segueing over to a different area of our episode, which is reading emails.
And now on to the reading of the emails.
Reading of the emails. So I thought what I would do is I will read the non-stars and you'll read the gold stars.
Since there's four of them. It's because I'm such a good boy.
Yes, that is so true.
The pause.
You're the best of boyses. Best of boysies.
Yes.
You're the best of boy.
Yes.
Which is weird to say. Anyways,
you're
the best, like you're the best boy, but I like to say you're the best of boy. And best I'm saying it boy. With a B-O-I, not like a regular boy.
Yes, that is how I refer myself to. I'm not a B-O-Y boy. I'm a B-O-I
I'm a boy.
I'm a boy. Anyway, I am the best boy. So if you scroll like on credits, like, you know, at the end of the movie, and it's like,
it'll best say, like, boy. Best boy, me. Paradox. It's or we'll just have it say me and then in parentheses, paradox.
Me.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you said I'm doing the starred ones, you're doing the not starred ones.
Yeah, I'm going to start from the bottom and work my way up.
Okay. So, well, that's how I do it.
Technically, it's chronologically correct. So,
can I just okay. say, I love this person's
Which
picture?
One?
The first one that we're reading.
The protogen one? I think it's a protogen.
Yes, the protogen one. I love their picture. It's so cute.
It is cute. So this email comes from Cinnamon Roll. Cute name. Hi, I absolutely love your podcast. I wanted to ask if you could do an episode of the lore of protogens. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Bye. And then they also followed up with, P.S. Here is some art I made that I would love to put in any cover. Thanks. I'll probably put it in a link, not necessarily the cover of the thumbnail. I don't know. I'll think about it.
We could do it as the lore of protogens. Because like,
yeah, we
I
could.
I know that we have talked about protogens and primogens, but like I think we discussed like the species and like as a whole.
Yeah,
and,
like, we treated it like, what was the other one that we ripped apart? And I always reference it. Oh my God.
Amp waves?
No. But I do want to talk about amp waves. Those are cool. No. It's the, they look, they kind of.
The cheese wheel ones?
No, I want to do, okay, so here's the thing. I really want to do an episode about Surgles.
That's
the
cheese.
Mostly to make fun of them because of how ridiculous, like, the shape of their face is. But yes. Also because I know it's going to piss a couple people off. And you'd be like, Space, why would you want to piss anyone off? Because it's funny to get their angry emails. And, like, they totally just ramble like a Karen. It's so funny.
The Karens of the fandom are
Karens
the
of the fandom. Oh, sad. Now, what was it that we did? Manikits.
Manikits, yes. I didn't do that one. Sparrow
that did that one. It's so funny. I can never remember the name of the species manikits, but we ripped it apart. It's like the most memorable episode I've done.
Oh my gosh. I have to re-listen to that one.
But we kind of did a protogens one already, so I'll link you to that one. But we haven't gone into the lore of it. We've kind of just, like you said, we've kind of just went over the species, here it is, who owns it, blah, 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 all that jazz. I'm sure there's way more into it than we actually looked.
Well, just like there's way more into Angel Dragons. There's an entire huge lore to Angel Dragons that, like, that would take us a lot to cover too.
I also just want to say, I absolutely love the profile picture of this person.
Yes.
It's a
duck.
It's a rubber duck and like a black bandana.
And like a little rainbow necklace.
Yeah. It's so great. So, Seminole, thanks for emailing in. So our next email is from...
Be with pause.
You have to say hello, but in the way that they wrote it.
Why?
Because that's how they wrote it. You have to say, and you got to say it in a cute little, like, over exaggerated way. Like, how?
No, I'll do it. I got you. Okay. Do we read the whole email like that?
If you want to.
Okay.
Ooh, woo.
No. Okay. Hold on. Tried. Okay.
All right. Hello, Space Sparrow and other hosts.
Hello, Space Sparrow and all the other hosts. I've listened to the entirety of Sway from the
No, Wonder, just stop. It's so bad. Just read it like a regular email. Oh, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
You wanted me to do it.
I just wanted you to read hello.
Hello.
It's cute.
My cat says hello sometimes. Peachel, say hello.
No. Your Peachel's has resting bitch face.
She does. Yeah. Anyway, so hello, Space Sparrow and all the other hosts. I've listened to the entirety of Straight from the Muzzle, and I always eagerly await new episodes and content from you guys. I wanted to let you know that your show has been extremely inspiring to me. Since beginning listening, I have begun my own furry podcast called Unpaused with
spelled,
that is awesome. All caps, UNPAWSED. Exclamation park. That's so cool. Says we are just starting out, but you guys got me hooked on podcasts, so I had to try my hand at it. That's awesome. Now I want to listen to them. Says you all have wonderful viewpoints, and I always love hearing what you have to say. Just wanted to shoot you an email of appreciation. Sincerely, B with pause. I love that. Now I have to listen to Unpaused. Where can I listen to it?
Yes, if you could provide us. Well, we'll respond to this email just because it'll be a lot quicker. Let us know where you have it so that we can go and listen to it and let everyone else know.
Hey,
about
they're
it.
On Spotify.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Send me the link.
I'll show. Yeah.
I always love hearing that people have, like, because they've listened to our episode, they've started doing like their own podcast. I think that's so cool.
That is really cool. I was reading about them. How do I the share? Aha. Link.
A share.
Link. There we go. Send it to you.
I had someone at work say that they're like, why do you sing your words? I'm like, I don't know. I've done it since I was
you
a kid.
The touch of the tism.
Yeah. Well, and like my grandma did it too. She'd always be like, you know, if you're like getting like something out of the cupboard, she'd be like, John's walking over to the cupboard. He's grabbing some cereal and some sugar, you know, like that. And so
that's so cute.
I've always done it too. I guess I'm the only one in the family that does it though.
That's adorable. I love that.
Unpaused is a new furry fandom podcast hosted by fursuiters B and Crow. Join them as they have conversations and discussions about everything fandom related while featuring other members of the fandom.
Just so there's no confusion, that ain't me. Also, hello, other Crow.
It's so awesome.
That is cool.
They have one episode out. Looks like it's brand new.
45 minutes long.
You know what? Ours was pretty long, too. Our pilot episode.
Oh, I wasn't judging.
Oh. Pilot episodes are always... What's hard is like... And yo. I don't know where I was going with that. When you're starting your podcast, you'll start to kind of get an idea of what works, what doesn't work. And that takes time. Usually... After you're done recording the first season, that's when you kind of look back and you're like, okay, here's what we did. This is what worked. This is what didn't work. And you kind of get an idea of how you want things to function. Now, if you're like our podcast, where we kind of change things up every once in a while, that's just how it works. there's nothing else with that.
Just smack. That's how it works.
Smack. That's how it works. The one thing I will say is that just enjoy yourselves. Have fun. Remember that this is, you know, there are some podcasts that do scripts where they read just straight off of like a piece of paper. And you can tell the difference between people who are genuinely having chemistry and having a fun conversation versus someone who's reading and faking laughter like, ha, ha, ha. That's no fun. Genuine laughter is funnier than regular crap laugh.
Okay. You did not understand that reference and it's okay.
Wahaha. That?
No, at the very wahaha wahaha. It's from Dexter's Laboratory.
Oh, I haven't seen that cartoon for so long.
Oh my god,
it was more of a Powerpuff Girl.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because you're gay.
Definitely is because I'm gay. I'm gonna go ahead and bookmark this so I can listen to their episode tomorrow when I'm working.
Oh yeah, I gotta
okay.
To the latest episode of ours too.
Our next email comes from Charlie. Hello, my name is Charlie. I'm a young fur that's been listening to your podcast for a bit. I have a podcast of my own. Oh, another one.
Ooh.
The Wolf's Den chat room. I was nice. Wondering if maybe we could do a collab or something, maybe an interview about what it's like to be a young fur or something. If you would rather make an episode, something else, please respond. Let's discuss it. Besides, I've been trying to be more active in the furry fandom because I don't have a lot of furry friends or... as they call it, in quote, friends. That's cute. I've never thought about that.
That is cute.
That is such a cute word. If you will, please let me know if you'd like to communicate.
Mini episodes.
Do they? Have you looked that one up too?
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
You are on the ball.
I am trying.
May not be able to respond because of school, so please be patient.
I'll send you theirs.
That's cool. There's another podcast out there. Ooh, mm-hmm. Links.
Yeah, this one has like mini episodes. I mean, like very mini.
I will email you back. It depends on how old you are. So if you're a young and furry, like a young furry, for just like...
Ooh, they have a Discord.
Reasons. We may not be able to collab just because we're a lot older. I'm not saying that, like, so if you're like, you're 18, that's fine. If you're 17, that's totally fine. 16 and below is where it starts to get really gray, kind of iffy, because we'd have to get into the part where, is it okay with your parents if we come on? Can we get like a signed release? It's just kind of weird. It gets a little weird on that. So
yeah, it does get into like,
we will talk, but thank you for emailing. Yeah. Ooh, what's their podcast about anyways?
The Wolf's Den chat room.
This is a podcast about everything in the furry fandom, from drama to mental health. We have the scoop. It looks like they got 1, 2, 3 different hosts. Huh. That's pretty cool.
It's okay. It kind of reminds me of breaking news, like within the furry fandom.
I am interested. They put the furry fandom and its history in 5 minutes.
They.
What?
Okay. I need to listen to
that. I need to listen to that. I'll definitely favorite this so I can take a look at it as well.
That's awesome.
All right. We got one more email.
Yes. One more email. Let me make sure I get their name right.
Lots of young people today.
Yeah. Lots of young.
I think their name is Lemon Pup.
Oh my God. Wait, is this a reference to Lemon Hope from Adventure Time?
I don't think so. It looks like a Dutch Angel Dragon.
I think they said.
We could ask. Anyway.
We could ask, it's fine. Anyway, so it says, hey, I'm a young fur and currently in 8th grade in middle school. All 8th grade. It says, I just wanted to let you guys know you guys have helped me learn new and interesting things about the fandom. You guys have inspired me so much. I'm sorry if this sounds cringe, but it's true. Also, my fursona is a fox. Pretty classic. His name is Lemon Pup, which that's just so freaking cute.
That's adorable.
Anyways, you guys keep up the good work. Many people love you. Oh my God, I'll cry. It says, sorry, I wish I could send you more art, but this is all I have on my computer. Also, sorry again, this looks like a dragon. I just wanted to show you my art. I like it.
So it is a fox and not a dragon.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I mean, if it's a fox, the nose definitely should be more fox and less dragon. But I do see on the top, it does say like dirge. So like dragon wolf. So I like it anyway. It looks good.
For an eighth grader, that's not bad.
Oh yeah, no, it looks great.
That's pretty good. I'm impressed.
10 out of 10 would hang up on my fridge.
I find that a lot of our newer listeners are younger, mm-hmm. which is not a bad thing.
No. I mean, sometimes we get a little...
raunchy. But I've put a disclaimer on our podcast. It does say that, warning, some episodes may not be appropriate for younger listeners. Listener discretion is advised. So I have put that up there on the description of our podcast. So to each their own when they listen to it. Mm-hmm. So anyways, thanks for everyone for emailing in. We always appreciate it. If you want to email us and you want it to be on the show, please send us an email to talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. We will read your email on an episode. It may not be like the most current one, but it will be attended to. We love reading them. We love seeing what people are doing. If you have artwork, or if you've drawn something, send it to us. We love seeing stuff like that. It makes us just smile from end to end. Oh, I don't like that.
You don't like what?
Smiling from end to end. I thought about
smiling
it.
Smiling from ear to ear.
Thank you. That's what I meant. There you go. I didn't like the way I said it. Ew.
Listen, it's today's recording has been wild.
Today's recording has been so hard.
Listen, like literally the first 10 minutes of us were like, we weren't even recording, we were just
BSing. We were recording, but we weren't actually like officially doing anything. We were talking about poop.
That's tough. And then literally like maybe 2 minutes, not even, before got into a really funny like thing that I said, which I will not mention because it's not appropriate.
Yeah, it's not appropriate.
But it killed us, and that is why our introduction is literally just us laughing and me pterodactyl screeching.
I have reached out to our editor and asked him if he could create a bloopers episode, to which I didn't know. He's actually been saving clips of all the episodes that we've ever done in the case that I would ask him to do a blooper episode. So
episode,
we may do, I think it'd be funny if we did like a safer work one and then a not safer work one.
Yes.
Cause there's stuff that we talk about that definitely does not make it into the episodes.
I don't know when Crow joined exactly, like what season, but it would be really cool if he like put like, oh, bloopers from season this, bloopers from season that.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yes, Crow, do it.
So the first episode that I was a part of the crew was for the Poetry Slam, which was season 7, episode 9. And now looking on Spotify, we actually have two season 7, episode 9s, but I was part of the Poetry Slam episode, and it's hard to believe now it's been a little bit over 2 years.
All right, well, to get us back on track, I haven't eaten food. I am so hungry. So I gotta finish up the end of this podcast, of this episode.
Well, I know that.
Oh yeah, we have a blue sky. I need to advertise that. Well, let me go to Twitter here. Yes, we still use Twitter.
We use Twitter, but Twitter's kind of being weird. We still refuse it to call X because that's just silly. But we do have a blue sky that we're trying to get up and running. So go follow us on Blue Sky. There you go. I did it.
Thank you. We currently have, on Blue Sky, if we can get 100, I think it's 150 followers. Let me just double check what I said.
What was that sound?
Oh, it was the raindrop.
That was a good raindrop.
Thanks. You're the best. It won't let me log in. Anyways, there's something on there. I think it's like if we can get like 100 or 150 followers, we'll do a drawing where you can enter to win free art from Dear Dog. So
yes,
go follow us. If you don't have a code and you need a code, maybe we'll drop a code every once in a while when I get one. I've got like, I just gave my code away to Paradox. So I'll wait for another one and then I'll do a code drop.
If I get a code, I will send out a code.
Code. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
You have a more wonderful day.
I will. Thank you.
You're really welcome.
Spoke to me.
Oh, good. Bye-bye.
Bye.